I'd like at this point to give to you all a very warm welcome in the Saviour's name tonight. We are delighted to see quite a good number gathered in, and we do trust as we spend a wee while in the Word and then a time of prayer together and then a little short committee meeting later as well, that the Lord will be our portion tonight. I have a change of plan slightly. I did announce that I was going to commence the Ten Commandments. I had made a start, almost the first message ready. But this week, due to the circumstances, folks, in the country overall, my attention has been brought more and more to this passage. It's in Jonah chapter 2. And I hope that what I say tonight will help all of us as we seek to keep our eyes on the Lord and to go on with Him and to look for His hand to be seen in our country in these days. Jonah, at this stage, I'm sure everyone here is familiar with chapter 1 of the book of Jonah. And in chapter 2, at the very beginning, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and saying, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Amen. We will end our reading there. We trust that the Lord will add His own divine blessing to the verses we have read together. In verse 4 it says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Now we just have another wee word of prayer and ask the Lord to use the word tonight to speak to us specifically. And I'm sure we're all here needing different things from the Lord, but we need Him to come and to speak to our heart. Father in heaven, we thank You again that we are reminded as we read the book of Jonah that the Lord is sovereign in all the affairs of men. And Lord, as we look at some of the very unique happenings in this book, we are also reminded that God is able to do far exceedingly, abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. And Lord, we pray this evening that our meeting, all of it, might be owned of Thee. That Lord, even as we look now at this passage, that God the Holy Spirit might come and meet with us in a special way. And Lord, that even as a result of tonight, Lord, that there might be better days before too long. So undertake for us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I did say to you that I had been thinking about the chapter during the week. I'm sure you, as well as me, have, you cannot miss during this past while, maybe this past couple of years, but it seems, even during this last number of months, that the great need of our country has intensified. And there are days of uncertainty regarding so many things. Far more than there ever has been in my lifetime. No matter what you think about, it seems to be that there's uncertainty attached to it. Think of the situation regarding the constitutional position of the country and any threat that there is regarding protocol and all of the other actions that would be supporting that which would take our country apart and would do great harm. That is something which is uncertain at the present time, and it is a great concern for Christians. We love religious liberty and freedom to worship the Lord in accordance with the teaching of His Word, and we appreciate all that those who have gone before us have laboured for, that we might have freedom tonight. We don't want to give it away lightly. In fact, we won't give it away at all. But it could be taken from us, and we don't want that to happen. But there's not only the situation regarding the country and the protocol and the great division, folks, that is causing. And my concern tonight is among good people. And not only that situation, but also the situation now with the rising numbers of COVID. And that is causing great division. And I don't use the word lightly, but it's actually causing very close to real resentment and hatred in families. Now, I'm not speaking of my own family or anyone here, but speaking to another preacher just a wee while ago, and he told me that it is dividing his family right down the middle, that don't even speak to each other now. And that is because of COVID and your attitude, whether you think everyone should get the vaccination or whether you're totally against it. And it was never more true that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's many people in the country not saved, and we need to be reaching out with the gospel, and we want to have that freedom continuing. But the Lord commanded the blessing where there was that unity among the brethren, and He still does. And I'm not speaking here of ecumenical unity. There can be no blessing there that will last. But among, as I said, people, these people I'm speaking of, folk, are people of the prayer meetings. And it is real resentment right now. And it's growing because of what is happening and what may happen regarding COVID in the coming days. And people who have vowed that they, under no circumstances, will be avoiding places of worship again. You know that we closed down voluntarily the last time, and we did that for health's sake. But some people who did it quite willingly said it'll never happen again. We've had enough of all. So you can understand, folks, that the land is in very great need. And it was with all of that burden on my heart, and it's on your heart too, with all of that burden on my heart, that I thought of the situation here. Did you notice there that chapter 2 begins with them? Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. He began to pray now. The previous chapter is absolutely riddled with doubt and disobedience as far as Jonah is concerned. And then the Lord took a dealing with him. And the story is a story that on a human level you feel really sorry for him. On a human level, when you consider what the Ninevites thought and had done against his own people, you can understand in some way how he was reluctant to go and to preach to these people. He was a good man, but he was human at best. And he felt himself in a catch-22 situation. The people here, the Lord wants me to go and preach to them, but after what they've done to my people, I hate them. And I don't care for them. And that's really how he was feeling here. So it is a very heartbreaking, but it's a very challenging situation. And it's also a very practical message. A very practical message for us tonight, as we give a little title to the message that we're going to bring to you now, called Seeking Obedience and Favour for Northern Ireland. Seeking Obedience and Favour for Northern Ireland. I want you to notice three things simply. Notice here, God following Jonah. God following Jonah. Now, Jonah made up his mind very quickly when the Lord told him to go to preach to the Ninevites, that he wasn't going to go there. He actually went in the direct opposite direction to which the Lord would have had him to go. But the Lord was grieved. And that's That's what the most important thing is. The Lord was grieved. And if you look there in verse 15, you have a verse that shows us that, and you can read the what he had to say before that, and also the sailors. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Or the word ceased there, if you've got a margin Bible, you see it means stood still. The storm ceased. And the storm was brought about by the Lord. Because the Lord was grieved at his disobedience. Now, the Lord was grieved with Jonah, but Jonah, because of his disobedience, found himself in an awful situation mentally. A situation here where, well, let's look at verse 6. It says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. There's a man. We can read verse 5 as well. There's a man in a desperate state. And you can imagine where he is now and how it has been with him and how he has disobeyed the Lord. And now all of these things are going through his mind in turmoil. You wouldn't have read very many of the verses before you would understand that. But he's not only in a great predicament mentally, he's in a terrible situation here physically. And you remember Job. Job was a great man. And over there in the book of Job, chapter 7 and verse 5 and 6, he says, my flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. You can hardly read two more verses together in all of the Bible that are more hopeless than this regarding a Christian man. And that is the kind of situation that physically Jonah found himself in. So here he is, the Lord is grieved with him, and he's sitting there, he is in trouble mentally, he is physically greatly distraught and greatly stressed, but he was in trouble spiritually. And as I look over the years at this passage, I come to the conclusion that maybe a lot of his mental and physical problem came from the fact that he was out of touch with the Lord. Because when I mentioned to you earlier that we could understand on a human level how he was unhappy with the Ninevites, we're not saying that we in any way think that he was right in the way that he behaved, because he wasn't. He was out of touch with the Lord, because right away he was away on the defensive. He didn't say much to begin with. But he headed off the other way. There was a spiritual problem there. Verse 4 of chapter 2. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. That's where the verse we read before we prayed. I am cast out of thy sight. Now, as far as I can see it, Jonah was, in a sense, out of God's sight. But it was all his own doing. When the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, the Lord's eye would have been upon him continually. And the Lord is now grieved with this man who, you might say, is totally broken. And I wonder, as I think here of God following after him, of all the mess that there is in Northern Ireland, and how a lot of what is happening is affecting our country physically, it is affecting people's thinking line, as far as mentally is concerned. But does the trouble come from a spiritual problem to begin with, and being out of touch with the Lord? Remember over there in David in 1 Samuel 21, where David, he feigned that he was mad. He was someone who was looked up to for most a lot of his life, but he feigned that he was mad, and he was scrabbling on the door or marking the door so that the man would have mercy upon him. Such was his state of mind. A very, very tragic picture there in David. But just think of Northern Ireland tonight. Is the Lord grieved? That's all I'm asking myself the question. Is he grieved because of disobedience? I read recently, I don't know where,
It simply said, the church is, I can't remember the exact words, it was something to do with the church is coming to her knees because she won't go forward on her knees. Something like that. And I wonder, have we left off? Have we lost out with the Lord? Maybe more than we imagine as a country. We tend to think of Northern Ireland as particularly blessed with gospel preaching, and it has been in many ways, but have we lost out more than we imagine? Anyway, we're looking here at God following after him. God followed after him. God was grieved. We've mentioned the state of Jonah here, but he realizes that the Lord is taking a dealing with him. He speaks here of mine affliction. And then again, in verse 2, it mentions about the belly of hell. The intensity of the situation cannot be ignored here. Verse 7, it says here that my soul fainted. It's almost an overwhelming situation. And do you not feel like that today in Northern Ireland? When's the good news? And many people who love being in Northern Ireland, they're worrying about the protocol. There are many people who are worrying about the whole COVID situation and the effect that that may now have. If there are, you know, the today what happened, and there's going to be COVID passports and whatever your view on that is, all I'm saying is obviously that might not be the end of it, and we don't know. But whenever things tighten up again, I feel there's going to be a lot of different reaction this time to it. And therefore, because people are feeling the intensity of this, overwhelmed, worn down, if you like, with the whole situation right across the whole country. You think of Paul over there in Acts 27, when he was traveling on the boat to Rome as a prisoner. It says in verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." And when he says saved, he's referring about being delivered from the disaster out at sea and the storm that would take them eventually out there. And again, you think of our own country and how intense the situation is. But again, I want you to notice here that Jonah knew why this was happening. Because you will see that everything he had to say there, he refers in verse 4, "Then I said, I am cast out of your sight." But you will see that through the chapter, he refers to the fact that, and the other chapters, he keeps indicating that the problem lay with him. Perhaps verse 9 is one of the best verses. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." And then salvation or deliverance is of the Lord. He knew why all of this had come about. And I just want to mention tonight, it is a sad case of affairs when God's people know what is wrong. They haven't done anything. You're in the prayer meeting tonight. Men and women who pray, and that is a great thing. But remember this, we have the Evangelical Church in Ulster. God following after us. He hasn't left us yet. He followed after Jonah. He could have called up another preacher. But he followed after Jonah here. So we're looking at seeking obedience and mercy and favour for Northern Ireland. There was God following after Jonah. But there's man's nature, or man's natural reaction revealed here. Jonah did not call upon the Lord. Now, you know there that he's crying to the Lord for help. He didn't do it until he was in a really, really tight spot. He should have been in touch with the Lord all along. That's why some people think that days of when things seem like a bed of roses are far more dangerous than hard days, because he stopped praying. Well, anyway, he didn't seek the Lord until he was really in a very difficult situation. I need to turn to Psalm 107 just now, and we'll be finished shortly. Psalm 107.
Psalm 107. If you want to just look at this yourself at home, if you look, for instance, at verse 6, it says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." Right? They're crying unto the Lord in their trouble. Right? If you look on again at verse 13, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." If you look also at verse 19, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." And then if you look at verse 20, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." But note, he sent his word and healed them. That was the answer. That was the answer. And you and I sometimes maybe could be a wee bit, and man in general, even Christian people, could perhaps be a wee bit like Jonah. And man's human nature is revealed when he tends to go along, not seeking the Lord. Nothing seems to be urgent. But now he's in a tight corner. His back's to the wall and he's nowhere else to turn. And we believe it is then that he prays sincerely and he acknowledges how it's been with him. He prays in faith. And notice this. Every single thing appeared to be against him. Every single thing seemed to be, he's in the fish's belly. As far as he's concerned, it's over. He's in the fish's belly and that seems to not be going to change. Everything is against him. You think of Caleb, who when he was 40, 45, when he was promised Hebron, and there's a lot of water under the bridge between that time and the time when Joshua gave it to him. And over the years, all of those years in between, would it not be right to say that all appearances were against him? Caleb was still without the mountain. Jonah was still in the fish. He was still in the fish. But he was in a very tight spot before he called upon the Lord. If you notice here as well, yes, we're looking here at man's human nature revealed. He didn't cry to God until he was really, really in a hard place. But he was right in the midst of his trouble. He acknowledged that he had not been in a right relationship with the Lord. If you look at the words carefully, I will sacrifice to thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. But the answer came in a most dramatic way. And we read that at the end of the passage where the fish spit him out. The fish spit him out, and he could never imagine that the Lord would have delivered him in this way. We don't know what's going to happen in Ulster. We'd like to. But we are concerned. Concerned for God's work. Concerned for families and people that we know who this is a fact. All these things are affecting. I'm concerned for the welfare of Northern Ireland as part of the United Kingdom. Concerned for all of those things. Yes, we're in a tight spot, but I know that some people, and I again reference you, have been praying all along, but the country needs to turn to him. And look upon seeking the Lord, not as something that is optional that you can do. If you have an hour at home now and you have nothing else to do, you can pray. But something that is urgent all of the time. And not wait until we're right in that extreme situation. I want you to notice finally, we've noted here that God was following after Jonah, that man's human nature was revealed and he didn't call unto God until things were desperate. But notice that God's cause is more important than Jonah. Because, look at verse 3, "And the word of the Lord came on to Jonah the second time." You see, God had a purpose. He had a purpose for the Ninevites. And God had, as I said, God had chosen Jonah to be the man. But then you think of John Mark, who in some ways deserted the Apostle Paul. I'm at home because of homesickness or whatever other reason they might have been involved. How the Lord had later a work for him to do when Paul sent for him. He said, "He's profitable for me for the ministry."
John Mark. But you think of Thomas who doubted. The Lord didn't take him and throw him in a scrap heap. You think of Peter who had no patience and really got under people's skin sometimes in the way that he went on, especially dealing with the like of John, and he was so different. And yet the Lord had such a great work for him to do. Here was Jonah. It would be very easy to say, why didn't the Lord just cast him aside and send somebody else? But God's cause was more important than Jonah. Jonah still didn't love the Ninevites. But the Lord come along and he said, Jonah, I've delivered you now from that awful situation. Are you going to do what I told you to do? Are you going to obey me now? And I think that's the message of the whole book. Generally, you know, the Lord taking a man who had his own ideas, was disobedient, and bringing about circumstances where he turned around and said to him, listen, you're going to do it now. I'm not going to send you on your own to do it, but are you going to do it now? God's work is more important than any man. It's more important than Jonah and Jonah's own notions or thoughts. And this answer, when the Lord came and said to him again, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, it was, I'm sure it was unexpected. Jonah probably thought he was on the shelf. Just get something else to do now. The Lord's not interested in me. And that is a great lesson for God's people in Ulster. If we're saved, the Lord hasn't finished with us. It was also something that he did not deserve. What do we deserve? Sometimes in the prayer meetings here, you folk pray, Lord, we don't deserve anything. And yet we need the Lord so much. But there was absolutely, it was clear, it was unequivocal, if you like. There was no doubt about it that the Lord now was sending this man, Jonah, out of his trouble to fulfill God's plan and purpose for him. I trust I've said enough tonight to help us all understand that we are in the right place this evening to make a difference. We're praying, seeking the Lord in a desperate situation. There's no point in looking back the next number of years saying, oh, if we prayed more, I just wish I had prayed, or I just wish I had obeyed the Lord. Need to do it now. Need to do it now. Seeking God for obedience in our own hearts and for favour from Him for Northern Ireland.